Well, as I've said, I don't have my notes and I don't have my Bible. But God is able. Now, our subject is God and nothing. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to be reading some very familiar scriptures. Genesis 1 and verse 1. God and nothing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John chapter 1. Verse 1. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by Him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians 1 and 16. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, note please, visible and invisible. We talk about molecules. Nobody has ever seen one. We talk about atoms, and we talk about electrons and protons and neutrons. We even work with these things and nobody has ever seen one. Our Lord created. The question is, what did He create all these things from? Well, actually, He didn't create them from anything because there was nothing before Him. In fact, I shouldn't say that. There is no before Him. He always was. Now, don't try to figure that out. Don't try to analyze that. That's just one of those things that you accept. How did God create? There was nothing there. How did He create? Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. That's how He created you. Verse 9, He spake and it was done. Isn't that wonderful? How do you talk to nothing and get something? Man hasn't solved that yet. That's divine. As one translator put it, the Lord said, be, and the whole universe came into existence. Isn't that power? And that's our God. Many years ago, in high school, we had a professor of physics, Professor Wexel. And he was an unusual man. At that time, he told us that he was one of a very few men that really understood Einstein's theory. Einstein's theory was the big thing then. Only the smart fellows really understood. And he was one of a few. And we were so glad to have him as head of the physics department. I know Professor Wexel. Professor Wexel lectured to me. One day, a remarkable thing happened. The New York Times. Now, you see, the New York Times is the same size as the Washington Post. Many of us read. And on the outside page, there was the big splurge. Professor Wexel weighs the earth. Well, we felt real good. our professor Wexel of the Department of Physics weighed the earth. And then you turn to page, you refer to pages 2 and 3. You know how the newspaper is? There was a number here, I don't remember what it was. And then across page 2, a lot of zeros, and across page 3, a lot of zeros. That was the weight of the earth. That was a great feat. Now, I don't remember what the weight of the earth was. I don't know whether he did it in pounds or grams or what. But it was nice to know that I knew Professor Wexel, the man that weighed the earth. But then the question comes, what holds the earth up? Pretty heavy. What holds it up? Now, there were some Orientals who believed that the earth was held up by two elephants. And when the elephants got tired and moved their legs, the earth would shake and there would be an earthquake. The Greeks said, no, that wasn't that way. A man named Atlas, a real strong fellow, he held the earth up. And if you go to New York City, 5th Avenue and 50th Street, you will see a statue there of Atlas holding up the earth. What holds earth up? When those fellows went up, the astronauts to the moon, they took pictures of the earth. What held it up? Job chapter 26. Oh, beloved, the Bible is a wonderful book. You see, the Bible is not a scientific book. But when the Bible speaks on scientific matters, it's very scientific. What holds the earth up? These folks said elephants, others said Atlas. There were some other views as to how the earth was held up. 26. Job 26. Verse 7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and, well, notice that next sentence, and hangs the earth on nothing. It's been in there all these years. And yet there were those who claimed that an elephant was holding, or two elephants rather, a strong man. And there were other theories. The book says he hangs the earth upon nothing. That's our God. I can't answer it. How does he do that? Do you know? If you know, you tell me after the meeting how he hangs this earth on nothing. But then there is another expression that I would like us to look at. Or even in that verse 7 there, the first expression. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place. Notice that word stretch. Now turn with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 10. Stretch. Jeremiah chapter 10. In verse 12. Oh, I like this. This is real science. This is real astronomy. And it's been in the Bible all these years. And you know they're just finding out? Read with me. Chapter 10, verse 12. He hath made the earth by his power. He saw how he did that. He just spoke and it was done. He hath established the world by his wisdom. Notice, please. And stretched out the heavens by his discretion. Stretched out the heavens. Please note that. Stretched out the heavens. Let me see. Chapter 51. chapter 51, verse 15. He hath made the earth by his power. Now we saw how he did it. He just spoke the word and the earth came into existence. He hath made the earth by his power. He has established the world by wisdom and hath stretched out the heaven by his understanding. Stretched out. When you go home, I'm going to request that you look up the word stretched out. You find it in the Psalms. You find it several times in Isaiah. He stretched out the heavens. What does that mean? And in two verses in Isaiah, it says, he stretched out the heavens like a curtain. That's beautiful. What does the curtain do? What is a curtain? A curtain has solid portions, but then there are spaces through which the light goes. He stretched out the heavens. When we go to skin graft a person, the person may require this much skin. And the person doesn't have that much skin, but he has this much skin. You know what we do? Puncture this, make holes, and stretch it. That's space. Our God is wonderful, isn't he? And he's put it all in here. In the last 40 or 50 years, a lot of talk is being made about space, space, space. It's been in the Bible a long time. He stretched out the heavens, and there is space. Now the next thing is, with all of these planets and stars and galaxies in space, they don't collide with each other, do they? Otherwise, this earth would be burned up. Now, they're going to collide one day, and this earth is going to be burned up, but not yet. What holds these planets in space? What holds them in space? Colossians chapter 1. Isn't it amazing what God does with nothing? Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior and your Savior, is before all things, and by him all things consist. And many of your Bibles have it translated, all things hold together. How is it there are no collisions up there in space? My Lord's in charge. Down here, the automobiles run into each other, the trains run into each other, the automobiles run into the trains run into the automobiles, the boats run into each other. No collisions up there. He holds them all together. Doesn't that make you feel good? He's my Lord. And one day I'm going to see him. And I'm going to spend eternity with him. What God does with nothing. By him all things consist. Now let me ask you a couple of questions. When the Lord Jesus Christ was in his mother's womb, who held all things together? Think on that. If you want, you can answer now. When he was 12 years old and in the temple discussing with the Pharisees and the scribes, who held all things together? And when he was on the cross and gave up the ghost, said, my Father, why art thou so far from hearing me? Who held all things together? Even in his death, burial, and resurrection, he held all things together. God and nothing. And you know something? What's the lesson that we learn from all of this? Until we become nothing, God will not make us something. That's the lesson. Become nothing. And the more nothing we are, you remember what the Lord said to Saul? I took you from taking care of the sheep and raised you up. And Saul became proud in his elevation, and God deposed him. The idea is to remain nothing. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 32. And we're going to look at a man who became nothing. Genesis chapter 32. And while you're looking for it, I must thank Sister Sarah for loaning me this Bible. Yes, I noticed here it's yours. You see, I am you wouldn't say a slave, but I'm a Scofield Bible man. I was raised on the Scofield Bible. When I was 10 years old, my dad gave me a Scofield Bible, and I've been using the Scofield ever since. And I like the old edition better than the new one. And I'm able to find my way a little bit this evening because I have a Scofield Bible. God and nothing. Genesis chapter 32. Verse 24. Jacob was left alone. You know that's another subject? Alone with God. That's a subject all by itself. Trace through the Word of God what happened to men and women when they were alone with God. And when you get alone in your study with God and with the Bible, how good it is. I was led, I'm sure, of the Spirit in the last couple of days to meditate on Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Alone with God. Oh, it was great. I had a nice time. The Lord told me that one day He's going to take me from this place. And there is going to be no more crying and no more pain. No more problems. Alone with God. It's amazing what He will tell you. Let's read on. Chapter 22, or rather 32. Jacob was left alone. Verse 24. There wrestled a man with him until the break of day. A man was wrestling with Jacob. All right? When he saw that he prevailed not against him, that is when the man, this heavenly person, and the evidence will show it was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And what do you think that did? From that point on, Jacob couldn't wrestle anymore. You can't wrestle with your thigh out of joint. So that was the end of his wrestling. All his life he'd been wrestling and fighting and tricking and all doing all sorts of things. You remember. But when God touched that thigh, he couldn't wrestle anymore. Let's read on. Verse 25, when the man saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Who's he? Who said, let me go? The divine person. And Jacob answered, I will not let you go, except you bless me. He wasn't wrestling then. He was just holding fast. Now, you know, Scripture explains Scripture better than any commentary. So holding this place now, let's look at Hosea chapter 12. Hosea, Daniel, Hosea, Job. Hosea chapter 12, verse 2. Are we all there? Fine. The Lord also hath a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him. Verse 3. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. We know that. And by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. Huh? Notice that, the next expression. He wept, made supplication. That's how he prevailed. He didn't prevail with natural strength. He couldn't wrestle anymore. He had come to the end of himself. For practical purposes, he was nothing. And when we read that he prevailed and held on to the man of God in Genesis, he was also crying. He was crying for help and for mercy. And what happened following that? Verse 26 of chapter 32. He said, let me go. For the day breaketh, and he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. The rest now wanted a blessing and was crying for it. He had come to nothing. Verse 27, he said unto him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. And what does Israel mean? A prince with God. As long as he was strong enough to wrestle and to fight and to connive and do tricks, he was Jacob. But when that hip was dislocated, he became a prince. Isn't that amazing? When he couldn't help himself, when he couldn't do anything, he became a prince. Child of God, if we want to advance and be used by God and elevated by God, we have to become nothing. And then when you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, I think it is. Yeah. The faith chapter. We know which chapter that is. The faith chapter. Chapter 11, sorry. Verse 21. Now we all... When we think of Jacob, we don't think of a man blessing anybody. You think of Jacob, you think of a trickster, a man that's out to get you. Always scheming on the next person. Notice how he ended up. Hebrews 11, verse 21, by faith. Oh my. He didn't demonstrate much faith while he was even alive. But I tell you, after that joint was dislocated, he got low and he developed some faith. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped. Can you imagine scheming Jacob, blessing somebody? You could imagine him tricking somebody. He tricked his brother and whatnot. And here he is, an old man. Blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, doing what? Leaning upon the top of his staff. I wonder why he was leaning on the staff. Was it from age? I don't think so. It was that hip that was dislocated. And as long as he was leaning on that, trusting in the Lord, the Lord said, your name is Israel, a prince with God. It is amazing what God can do with nothing. And if we want God to advance us and to elevate us and to promote us, we must become nothing. Beloved, I'm finished. That's the message. 499, please. Let's do like Brother Jacob. Let's lean on the Lord, trust in Him, hold on to Him, weeping, and He'll make something of us.